Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank. And this is the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. And I am Andy.
And I am Alistair Chamblay Birch Sketch.
What about this? What about that? We change the word ideas. We change it to us dears.
Yes.
Right. This is my new concept to improve brainstorming and collective decision
we
making.
We dears.
Mm,
do you think
really
us dears is better than we dears?
I think they're both pretty great. Yeah. So I think.
What about Andy? Think our dears.
Our dears. That's, you know what? That's the best one. I don't like... thing for a boss character. I don't think of them as being ideas. I think of them as being our ideas.
Yeah, that's right. But then at some point later on, he's yelling, "That was my idea."
You stole my idea. You stole my idea. Maybe somebody's taken the idea of calling ideas our dears, and he's really upset about it. Our idea was my idea.
Yeah, like the big boss walks in, and then later on somebody says, you know, they mention, "Well, we're calling them our dears," and he goes, "You know, Michael, that was a really I like that term a lot. That's really good." You go, "Well, I came up with that. That was my idea."
This is the best thing we've ever come up with, and I think we should end the podcast now, not just the episode, the entire thing. And I'm not just saying that to get out of the 400th episode, okay? I'm also saying to get out of this episode.
And the next 3 to 5 episodes before the 400th episode, and then all the other episodes after that.
And then all the other ones.
And
okay?
Yes.
Brainstorming.
Brainstorming. That's the people. That's the people who decide what goes in the cans of tuna.
It's time for another brainstorm. That's what they have at the John West Corporation. That's what they call it. You know what? It's the ideas that John West rejects, because there are bad ideas in brainstorming.
What about orange juice?
Brainstorming, it's a lot like brainstorming, but there are bad ideas. That's the only difference.
Now, remember, there are some bad ideas. So be careful what you
say. Be very careful what you say.
And hold back on speaking up. We only want good ideas that you could be sure will get a good response from the group.
Well, I realised that the bad ideas were slowing us down. So I thought, I love brainstorming. I think it's a great concept. But my one tweak to brainstorming is, what if you took out the bad ideas? Then surely if you only had good ideas, why wouldn't you only want to have good ideas? You see? It just makes sense. Well, we could get a lot over and a lot faster. It's going to be basically a brain typhoon.
Just the idea that he's just... Like, he just said, I guess I love already just the idea of saying all the opposite stuff that you would say to, like, the whole reason brainstorming was invented, to make everybody feel great and allow the flow of ideas and not to judge anything before you say.
I completely agree with you, Alistair. And when you were saying that before, I was thought, this is self-evidently good. I don't need to reinforce it or suggest or compliment Alistair on the idea or build on it or even mention it. I thought I'll just breeze past it.
You didn't need to, but You know, I mean, I liked your storm idea as well. I mean, you know, the flurry of other a cyclone.
Yes.
You know?
The calm in the eye of the brainstorm.
You think brainstorms on...
Yes. Do they rotate clockwise or anti-clockwise? Yeah, well, are they different in the Northern Hemisphere?
Are they like toilets? Are they big? Would you have a bigger brainstorm on Jupiter?
Wow. A brainstorm that's been going for thousands of years.
Could you have a red brainstorm?
Could you have a red brainstorm? All right, let's think about this. Using itself, could you have a red brainstorm? What about this? A brainstorm, but only for psychotic people. Everybody's...
Yeah.
I'm just picturing a brainstorm scenario where everybody in the room is currently experiencing a complete mental break, right?
A brainstorm.
Trying to come up...
Sorry. That's not important. Yeah. But I mean, it feels like you could use psychiatric facilities as a way of brainstorming ideas.
Yes.
And that are truly outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to...
I mean, a lot of the people there are inside boxes, but their thinking
isn't.
Right.
Yes, they're all locked up. Some of them are there willingly. Some are there, you know, acknowledging. And then all you got to do is send one facilitator from your company. And I guess you're paying them a little fee. You get them You get them all to sign things.
Suited up.
Now you say, and you have to start the whole thing with, now a lot of you are going, you may be thinking, these people are recording me and they're taking my thoughts. They're trying to steal my thoughts. Now I want to say that yes, that is what I'm doing. So I'm going to be up front. Just so in case anyone, I want to get on top of that before, because the last brainstorm, we really got bogged down on that idea. And so the people who run the facility here thought it would be best if we were open about that up front.
Yes.
And just a reminder that
I know what it looks like. It looks like what it is.
And, we've all got you to sign things. And the nurses have
now I didn't have a whiteboard, but as luck would have it, Aaron here has agreed to write the ideas we come up with on the wall with a substance he's produced entirely on his own. Apparently he's been practicing in his cell, and I'm very excited. Thank you very much, Aaron.
In four colors, yellow, red, brown, that one's not really coming up on the white wall. So maybe we'll just use the first.
The brown.
We'll just
instead.
Use the brown or the red. I think the yellow. It's a bit hard on the eye. Not enough contrast. On the white wall.
And I notice it's washing off some of the brown. We don't want to lose any of the good ideas.
Okay. So, when you're driving a car, what could make you more... What do you think if a car would have that would make you more comfortable?
I mean, I think it's a... I think that was all in very good taste, by the way, Alistair, and I think we're on the right side of history.
Well, you know, instead of calling it a mental, you know, I think as long as everybody's there willingly and can make a little bit of money on the side, I imagine that while there's probably meetings and there's already things going on, there's probably also a lot of downtime and an opportunity to, you know, help pay for some, if not this treatment. You know, hopefully it's covered by Medicare, but an opportunity to maybe pay for, you know, your life that continues on the outside.
Exactly. It's a down payment. You know, it's almost impossible to be on the wrong side of history on account of how history works.
Yes.
But I imagine if you had been a sentient being, present at the exact moment of the Big Bang, a hilarious comment you could have made to anybody else who was there would have been, geez, I really feel like I'm on the wrong side of history. Let's see.
Now, I missed...
Because time itself had not, or was only just beginning to pass in that instant. And so history had not yet taken place, and therefore you were on the wrong side of it by virtue of being before history occurs, the wrong side. The right side of history being after it has taken place. What do you think?
I really like it a lot, Andy. I'm having. Yeah, I was writing down the other idea, so I apologize that. But I really liked how long you were taking to elaborate on it.
Well, so, I was just basically continuing until you said something, and it didn't seem like that was coming, going to happen.
So I apologize. It was just the last idea, the good taste one we made. And I don't mean to say that your idea was in bad taste.
although it may have been, I wasn't listening.
Well, I was half listening, but then I was when I half heard. Were you talking about at the Big Bang, or were you talking about going to the future?
I was going to the Big Bang. I was going to the very moment of the creation of time itself.
Now, when you pictured that, were you picturing that the Big Bang was the very beginning, or that it was part of some cycle where, you know, there had already been...
I suppose I'm glad you're asking me to expand on this, because I do have, you know, a lot more to say about it. I suppose in a way I was willfully being obtuse about the nature of time, and that even suggesting that something could be expressing that thought during the instant in which time begins to occur was itself silly. You know, it was if not humorous, then at least potentially amusing.
You know what occurred to me, Andy, just then? Because you know how, like, we've been talking about trying to make an audio album, a sketch album? You know, do you think it would be fun to make one and then release it exclusively on vinyl?
Yeah, I think that would be really fun.
Do you think it'd be a real jerk move?
I mean, I don't think it would put anybody out, because
it
I
might
don't
put us out. Maybe the printing costs will be substantially too high to make this a viable thing to do.
Yes. Yes. Well, maybe we would be auto jerks then.
Yes.
Jerks who only harm themselves.
Yeah. The auto jerkography. No. Oh, wait. What about it's a roast? I mean, maybe this is just stand up, but it's a roast, but it's only you. And then you call it the roast of you. And then you completely shit on you the whole time. Is that just stand up? I mean, it could be stand up, but I mean.
Yeah, but it's a good title for it, you know? I am here.
Yeah.
You know the thing where they say such and such is here?
Yeah, sorry. I just got.
The most blunt and clunky way to introduce the next topic of your joke. Meryl Streep is here.
Wow, what roast? Who do you think, the roast of who Meryl Streep would attend?
Lindy Chamberlain.
Really? Oh, yeah, of
yes.
course. So she'd be on stage, I suppose, because she's portrayed her.
That would be a great one for them to do. After they did Paul Hogan and John Cleese on those roasts that we were working on, they should do Lindy Chamberlain next. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I reckon that would be appointment viewing.
I mean, I don't love where I think the comedians would go with that.
I mean, I think if really talented comedians wouldn't have to go there. That's true. They'd find other things to joke about.
They wouldn't even bring up the dingoes. They would use all those other cultural touchstones that we all know about Lindy.
Exactly.
She's no longer in
prison.
Try
not to make it too one-note,
guys. I guess she's gone to prison. She's no longer in prison. She seems like a genuinely quite, like, not gr- like maybe grateful and kind of accepting, decent person after everything she's been through.
Considering. anyway, the jokes will just flow from
Lindy
there.
Lindy is so considerate. How considerate is she?
Do we need to explain what we're talking about for overseas listeners?
If anybody's ever seen the episode of Seinfeld where Elaine says, "A dingo took my baby."
Maybe a dingo took your baby.
It's referencing a lady in Australia to which she claimed that people didn't believe her. She was then sent to jail. Mm. And then later on, somebody found evidence that it actually did happen. And she was released. Mm.
There was basically a trial by media and she was vilified and... It was a horrible situation. But we, as a society, learned our lesson, and we've since then never done that to anybody ever again. It peached them in the media without knowing the full story.
Right. Exactly.
We're not currently doing that right now.
What are we doing right now? Oh, no, we're not doing it right now.
I'm thinking about the woman with the with the mushroom situation.
Oh, yeah. Mm. It also kind of happened with, I guess, the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing a little bit as well. That was all. It wasn't exactly the same thing, but you know what I mean. Mm. Oh, man, we were on such a run of sketch ideas before where everything we said was a sketch idea. Oh, wait, what were we saying about the self jerk off? Oh, yeah. I don't know. Is the self roast a sketch idea, do you think?
I think a roast of the self is indeed. A good idea. If you know, I think maybe even as a form of therapy, you know. And I know people say stand up could be therapy, but this is, I'm not talking about it in that way. I'm talking about it in a way in which it's an official licensed therapeutic approach, like electroshock, or cognitive behavioral therapy. It's the roast principle.
Yeah, so, but are you suggesting there could be a type of therapy like that where you go and it's either you do stand up for your therapist or your therapist does stand up about you?
That's a really good stand up album, film stand up album concept, right? Is that you do your set either just for your own therapist or maybe for a room full of therapists.
Yeah. Well, I guess part of it is convention. Dr. Katz was almost that. Was just, I mean, it, you know, the that wasn't the premise, like that they were coming and doing stand-up, but they were just telling their stories and it was kind of like stand-up. But
the format.
But I still think that just actually doing it as stand-up, it'd probably be a really good way of... you know, revealing who you are to your therapist, because you're saying these are the things that I think are funny. And I think that is almost deeper of a revelation about who you are.
Or shallower.
Ah, yes. Well, I hadn't thought of it like that. You know, when you think about it, I suppose in many ways it could be revealing a lot less. Because then you don't have to say anything about yourself. You can just say you can just, you know, mention international tragedies and then laugh. You know?
That is my favorite form. I saw, because we're on Blue Sky now.
You and me,
right? You and I, we're Blue Sky guys.
Blue Skies.
That's very good. That's very good. You should skip that. I saw Martin Dunlop reposting something that you had originally put on Twitter, which was a screen grab of one of your tweets about trying to enjoy sketches with your offspring.
Yeah.
Is this a recent?
Yes, I tweeted this quite recently. Sorry, I'm still on Twitter a little bit. Maybe more than I
And you're not cross-posting?
Not all. I am cross-posting some, and then some I'm not cross-posting, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, do you want to repeat it here? Because I thought it was very funny. Do you want to cross-post it onto
I
the podcast?
I could try and cross-post it, but I'll have to get it up because I, you know, me, I'm a, I don't remember lyrics even when we've practiced them a lot. So I'm who am I again? I'm Alistair Trombley Birchall.
Yeah, you'll be playing the role of Alistair
In this thing. Okay.
In this piece
of
content.
As I go by, I see that I have just recently appeared on the Murph's Tavern podcast.
Oh,
and,
great.
Which is a podcast where we look at your favorite Simpsons episode, and mine was the Radioactive Man movie one. And we're on, and I get to appear on there with obviously Murphy McLaughlin, who is the host, but then Ryan Thomas, who is was our wonderful colleague from Mad as Hell, and has
really?
Worked on things with what's the that binge show that has that guy behind the TV or the year that was or the TV
the backside of television.
He's also been working on that. Anyway, I'll keep going down,
great.
scrolling. I have children under 8 years old. And I'm now editing it because I forgot to put the old in there. I have children under 8 years, and I want to show them the best comedy. But in order for them to get it, one moment I'm explaining some of the most devastating things humans have ever done, and the next moment I'm explaining to them why what we're seeing is a fun twist on that.
I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's so funny. And it's completely true. You need there needs to be something like in The Fifth Element, you know, when she's eating the enormous roast chicken and watching that basically supercut of all of human history, including all the awful things that have occurred, and she has a single tear running down her cheek. And then after that, she should sit down and watch, I don't know. Like,
you know, but you know what's interesting is that looking back on that.
Adam Sandler's 100% fresh, and she would really love.
Right. Yeah. Especially, I guess he would have mentioned the Holocaust at least once in there, I suppose.
Surely.
You know, but when you think about it, though, seeing all of the horrible things that humans have done throughout of all of history, a single tear almost doesn't seem like enough.
Yeah, how much do you reckon would be the appropriate amount to cry for all tragedy, everything bad that's ever happened?
You know, I was crying and just dripping listening to the voice song in that voice ad. And I,
really. Yeah.
And so I, you know, and that's not even real. That's like the achievements.
But it was just in an ad as well. It wasn't the full performance. It was just a clip.
Yeah. Have you seen the ad for the voice that has the You're the Voice song in it?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the TV show, The Voice.
No.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, that probably actually would get me. I haven't seen the ad.
Yeah.
No, I'd like to, though.
Yeah, I really.
I'll brace myself.
Yeah, you go brace.
As I've established, I might have mentioned this on the podcast, the only thing that really makes me cry right now is reading The Man from Snowy River to my children.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm just so proud of The Little Pony.
I didn't even know there was a pony in there.
Well, the horse, they talk about him being a pony, right. I think. I think pony is a pretty loose term.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They're referring, is it because it's like it's a racehorse?
No, it's just a mountain horse. It's just a, don't get me going on it, Alistair. He's just a little horse who just tried his best.
Is it essentially the book, I Think I Can, the little train that could?
Yeah, but for horses. Yeah.
I mean, in many ways, it makes more sense that a horse would have conscious thoughts than a train.
Exactly. Makes a lot more sense. What about this, right? It's Train the Thomas Engine, okay? And it's a book, it's a children's book entirely about people, human beings, but have the heads of locomotives, or instead of faces, they have the front end of a big boilerplate that you would have on the front of a big steam engine, okay?
Yeah.
And I guess as a result, they can't see or communicate in any way. All they can do is blunder around.
So it's kind of like a society of blind mimes.
Blind mimes.
I guess they can't hear. They can't. They don't have any sensory organs.
Let's see. They have the sense of touch, I suppose.
And all they know is how to feel each other's bodies. A society based on touch.
I mean, it's a freaking cultural phenomenon of great interest to me.
I like it because I think being able to dig into how that they formed this society, and I suppose they're walking around wearing clothes, and the clothes are tailored to, fitting the boilerplate, so they stick out in some way, and
Can we write it down?
Yeah. But then, the other version of Train the Thomas Engine is, it's a kid, I suppose, who's been tasked. This is kind of more in the how to train my dragon kind of train, right?
But it's
a box, and inside the box, now the kid doesn't know this, but this is the backstory for you and me. This doesn't have to go into the thing. The box essentially just produces babies called Thomas.
Wow.
Right? So the box is the Thomas engine, right?
Yeah.
It produces Thomases. But now inside, there are people and they're making babies, right? So it's quite a big box.
Does it only produce a Thomas every 9 months?
Well, more realistically, every 18 months? There's multiple couples in there. But the interesting thing is that they don't breed until this kid says the right things outside of it to make it. It's like a puzzle box, you know? And so this kid has to figure out how to make it do that. And so there's a chance that and I think the first one was an accident. So let's say he encounters the box, right? And then he's saying things randomly around it, blah blah blah, right? And then he can't get the box to do anything. Then he leaves and he comes back 9 months later and a baby comes out.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Or there is a baby already there.
And then, so we're like, how long would it take him to discover the phrase, the key phrase to producing babies?
That's right. And, so it's this kid, it's a learning experience. Now, this is a very good sketch. This will go on the this is vinyl.
On the audio
This is
album.
Going on the vinyl album. And look.
I think we should start scratching it into... I've got a record here with me. I'll start scratching it into it right now.
I don't know. I've got this horrible urge to scratch something out. It could be my ears, but I could just do this record.
What about this, Alistair? It's the guys who are tasked with going into the wild, probably riding on horses and hunting the wild tank engines, mm-hmm. okay? Because, you know, the Thomases, they're obviously some kind of beast, right? They couldn't – there's no way that you could make a tank engine like that in a factory. It must be a living thing that arises in nature, okay? I think it's more – plausible to believe that it could arise in nature than it is to believe that it could be made by man. Yeah.
I think they exist in enormous herds.
It's
through genetic like experiments or something like that that the first one was made. But
sure.
Then there was a wait. Then there was a wait. What, okay, wait. What's the, oh that? What's the name of the place where they all sleep? Fuck.
Not a stable. What is it? A garage? Sheds. It's just the sheds, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think so. But anyway.
A station? It's a station. No, all right. Yard? The yard?
Thomas.
Is it a shunting yard?
Tank. Sleep. Wait.
Because I had an idea, and I was going somewhere with it.
It was it's Tidmouth Sheds anyway. So then there was a shed leak. Fucking hell, wasn't worth it. Was not worth it. You gotta be able to know what words are called before you try to interrupt somebody else's idea.
I reckon that was flawless, Alistair. I think that was perfectly delivered, and. Again, all of this is going straight onto the bottle.
We're just going to copy and paste this on.
But out in the sort of Midwest of America, I think, instead of buffalo, there are enormous herds of these, you know, 10-carriage locomotives just charging through the dust, right? And these guys have got to go and they've got to catch them, and then they have to break their spirits. In order to make them able to run on the rails and serve the will of man. And it's a horrible to watch. This long process of basically destroying the beautiful wild heart of a tank engine to turn it into a docile beast of burden.
Yeah.
And nothing
more. I feel
like
they would, their version of bucking would be to... to like
plunge off a cliff.
Well, I think, you know, let's say you're chasing it, right? And you're running around with your lasso or whatever, and then you're chasing it, and then it would go really hard on its back wheels and then lift up and then toot or whatever, and steam would scald you from, you know, so it would go up on its, like, you know, be so that it's basically vertical and then.
I mean, that would look impressive, wouldn't it? It'd be really daunting to the inexperienced rider. My God.
And there's a chance also it will keep falling backwards and then just you'll be crushed by what seems to be the most amount of tonnage anything could have. Why would you make a vehicle so heavy?
But I think it also has to be so heavy to grip onto the road. But maybe if the rails weren't just like metal on metal. Maybe
there's
like
no treads, right?
Make it something a bit grippier. Yeah. Make them like a cog, right? Make the wheels like cogs. Make the tracks like, you know, like those tracky cog bit things like you have in a rack and pinion steering system.
Did they ever have race trains?
You know,
like there's race cars.
No. But that, I love
is there
that
like
idea.
Like a Formula
love
One
that
of
idea.
Trains.
I think they'd have to have the full all the carriages and stuff behind them as well.
It's like
and
drag,
on...
like drag racing for steam locomotives.
That's great.
You know, there are Shinkansen, but that's they're not drag racing. They're fast.
Yeah, we want them going head to head, I think. Yeah. I mean, you've got the problem of would they have to race just in a straight line? You couldn't really have them on a curved track because then whoever's on the outside has to go further.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you could have some
where
way for them to
at some points.
Well, you know, you can have those. What are they called? The
oh,
where
above,
they switch
but you,
right
you
where
could
the
also have one
switch.
Go above and one go below.
You could have one go above and one go below. That's
Skyrim.
True. No, but I want them to be them to have those. Oh, those things. Now I'm forgetting words, but those things where they can switch from one track to another. So there's all these tracks next to each other, right? In a big, basically a racetrack style, yeah. That big oval with those curves at either end. Okay, but then all the way along it, there are heaps of different track switching things where you can switch from one track to another. But in order to do that, you've got to be able to get in ahead of the train that's coming along behind to switch onto their track. So it'd be really brutal.
Someone is going to tell us, they go, racing trains is a very common thing. They go, don't you know anything about rail?
They should invent a ball that you can bounce, right? It's a bouncing ball.
Yes.
Okay. Not just for throwing up in the air, right? But one where you can throw it down and then it comes back up again.
And they should make a cube that you can count. You know, like a cube that's just for counting. You'll have it in schools, things like that. Stick some of the cubes together. Imagine coming up with that idea, the guy who came up with those wooden blocks. Oh, it's a cube, yeah, but it's just for counting.
It's just for counting. You can't do anything else with it.
Couldn't you just use any object at all? Any 10 things?
No, these ones are better.
These
for
ones
it.
Will have these 10 things on each. Oh, we'll have some that'll have 10 things on them. You go, okay. We'll have some that'll have 100. You go, that seems like too many.
I like this guy. And I like that thing.
This cars, but they're just for counting.
There are
educational cars.
Have you ever seen a ball bearing bouncing off a very hard steel surface?
I'm not sure, but I already like it.
It's very cool to watch. Like if you watch somebody bouncing a ball bearing off an anvil or something like that, a very flat anvil. It has this. It's a fantastic. It bounces smaller and smaller and smaller, and the little clicks get closer and closer and closer together. But it bounces quite well. Mm. There should be a sport that's played with enormous steel balls that you bounce off, and you play it on a steel court. Yes, on an enormous anvil.
What if it was just with a ball bearing style size ball and you played on a steel court?
Yeah, I really like it. I really like it.
But it's just like as soon as you throw that thing, it's just it's just skull crushingly powerful.
But if it's quite small, you're saying it's a regular ball bearing, so it doesn't have to be huge, right? So it probably couldn't crush somebody's head, but I do love the idea of like piffing really hard.
See, we'll use swords, because the sword comes to a very thin edge, so it won't hurt anyone because it's only small. It would only hit such a...
How could you be hurt with something so tiny? Small. But you know what I mean, Alistair. You wouldn't be able to throw it, right? It won't be able to have that much momentum that it can actually do that kind of damage, right?
Of course.
Like
it
if
could.
People
it's
were
a
in
steel
a
ball.
Were in a Okay. All right. Think about bullets, right? People throwing bullets at each other. Okay. That's never going to hurt
they're not
anybody
filled with steel.
That much. No, they're made of lead.
Yeah.
That's heavier.
But they're not filled. They're hollow, right?
Bullets aren't hollow. They? Some are. Hollow tip bullets are.
That's the ones I was thinking
most
of.
Most bullets are. Oh, oh well, then, you're 100% correct for the subset.
Yes! Okay, but wait. Very specific subset.
Well,
let's just say, like, I don't know what size steel ball you were picturing, but I was picturing one at least that you'll be able to see flying through the air. But anyway, what would you try to do? Because now this is our chance, right? We've come up with a new medium, but now we got to figure out like where's that other skill go to? Like, where are we trying to get it into a net? Are we trying to get it into like a little mouse hole? Are we trying to
Well, I think maybe you have sticks. Everyone has a stick, a magnetic stick, yeah, right? Which you can use not only to sort of try and grab the ball out of the air, but also to deflect the path of the ball, right? So if somebody throws – you won't be able to deflect it much, but if one of your teammates throws it really hard, right, you can sort of deflect it off its course and steer it towards the goal as it shoots past you
so
at top speed.
Could you have an electromagnet that also somehow repels it? Could you do that?
I think every 30 seconds
it switches.
there's a
everybody's running with a huge battery on
their
back.
There's a huge electromagnetic pulse that shoots through the entire stadium.
I mean, like a magnetism based sport is pretty,
I think that would be cool.
I mean, then it makes you think, well, what if our shoes were also had like metal on them? And so
and then they can run up the walls.
Oh my gosh.
I think this is really good. It's the first 3D. It's played in a sphere.
Yeah, I mean, if it was slightly... Oh, yeah. Sphere is very interesting. Yeah, I was going to say if it kind of had that like a velodrome kind of tilt to it. So then, you know, having that magnetism, even if it's just light, it means it's more difficult to run, but it also means that it's easier to keep hold, grip on the incline.
How wonderful is the word velodrome?
Yeah, that's a really good one.
I feel like it's wasted on bicycle racing. I don't think there is enough bicycle racing that anyone cares about in the world for them to justify holding onto the rights to the word velodrome.
I think you're right. Yeah.
What about?
Did I tell you I went to a velodrome?
This is
because there's one nearby.
What about this? The velcro-drome.
Yes.
Right. And the bicycles have velcro. Have the fluffy side of velcro on the wheels, right? And the entire structure is the it's a huge sphere, as I earlier suggested, made of the sticky side of velcro, and you can ride across the roof on the velcro-drome. Somebody should build this.
Oh man, imagine holding on to your bike.
I know.
How tight you gotta like, I guess you'd have your feet strapped in, but you know.
Yeah, have your feet in those little toe clips or something like that.
Especially when you're not going fast at all because of the Velcro. But I mean, that's a fun idea. Like a thing where, let's say you had to kind of crawl on all fours with Velcro hands and like, you know, to get to the top because the ball is stuck at the roof and the only way to get up there is, you know, you probably need to be like launched by your friends, by your teammates.
That'd be a great tactic. Yeah, because that would be a much more direct and faster way to get thrown up to the roof, right, than it would be to crawl all the way around the side.
Velcro ball. I mean, I guess if the goals were up near the roof and you could only access them from the top, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah. Okay. It's really good though. Like I love the idea of when people are upside down and they try and throw the ball to each other, like they're hanging from the roof and they're passing to each other, but you throw it and it falls away, but it's actually falling down with gravity. It's really good.
You could have a roof that's only like a meter off the ground that's covered in Velcro.
Okay.
And then your whole body is covered in Velcro. And in order to score, you have to be like, you know, hanging from the roof, right? And so then you kind of crawl along the roof. You have to really like have a lot of you still stuck to the roof in order to...
It's so horrible.
It's hard. It would be really hard.
Really awful bad time. I think the getting the hit in the head with the steel ball bearing is preferable. What about my idea about throwing bullets at people, though, right? Can we have some sort of scene set in a war somewhere where they don't have the guns, they've only got the bullets, and so they run out and they're throwing bullets at each other? Maybe this is afflicted both sides of the conflict, so it's not totally grim, but people running.
They're at stuck each in a room and there's just a box of bullets, or there's like a bunch of ammunition.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
And like, I feel like you would, like, first you would try throwing it, and then you would really try and sprint and throw.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
You know? And then when that doesn't work, then you would probably try to throw it at the wall in the hope that it hits the wall hard enough at the back to activate the gunpowder.
Yeah, but that's not as fun to me. That, you know, then you're actually just shooting people.
Well,
I mean, people throwing bullets
no
in other people's faces.
Over the direction.
Okay, sure. Oh, well, that is a bit fun again, isn't it? Anybody could get shot.
I mean, what, like, other than just have a couple of chucks, you know, apart from that, then somebody would crawl up on the top, like going from the third floor and try to drop them. Up to somebody down below?
What would you try and do? Try and force somebody to eat them? Like hold their nose and try and put them in their mouth? So get them with the lead poison.
Or you just hold them over their heart and start trying to thumb it in? And just for clarity, I want you to know that I'm picturing little rounded off bullets, not some of those like big, long, pointy
me
ones
too.
That probably...
Of course.
You know, would that be really unpleasant to see being pushed into someone's chest?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're on the same page here. And I think we can trust the listeners to be imagining the same...
fun things.
Friendly, fun bullets. Yeah. Friendly, fun bullets that we are.
Thrown bullet.
Alistair, battle. I don't know if you know this, but we have listeners. Right. And if those listeners support us on Patreon... Yeah. Then they can elect to send us three words every...
Well, could.
Whenever. They can send them as many times as they want, I think, is one of the flaws in the system.
And can any listener who donates that money, supports us, do it? Such as, like, even listeners, like Jim Little?
I'd say Jim Little is the perfect example of the kind of listener who could do this.
That... is great because Jim Little has sent in three words. Three words from a listener.
See, the system works. Oh.
So would you want to try to guess what those words are?
Yeah, okay. The first word is contretemps.
Contretemps. So good, Andy. God. But unfortunately, it's custard.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, this is already my wheelhouse. Yeah. House. So is the second word wheelhouse?
No, it's not. It's horse, which is so close.
Custard.
But it's the opposite of horse. A wheelhouse. It's a legged house that you sit on top of, like Snoopy.
Yeah. And horse and house are almost exactly the same word.
Leg horse. Wheelhouse. Leg horse. Wheelhouse is long as an RV.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
Custard horse.
Custard horse bonanza. Bonanza.
Gosh, you know, the horse definitely makes you think of bonanza. And I suppose the custard could make you think that you're at some kind of fair and they could make a really big deal about the custard in some way. It's implying a bonanza. But unfortunately, Andy,
so is this your way of saying yes? You're correct.
No, unfortunately, the third word is mistake.
Custard horse mistake.
You know, I don't know. The first thought that it makes me think of, and I don't have the exact details on what this is, but let's say it is at a fair or it is at some public event, and either there's a horse standing in a big container of custard.
Absolutely.
There is a horse made out of custard or anyway, something like this. And there's a guy there who is saying he is really like imploring everyone. No, he's saying, I did this on purpose. I promise you I did this on purpose.
Right. So if it is a mistake, he's not admitting
That's right.
it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you made a horse entirely out of custard. You know what that would be great for? You would need to, because we're a big fan of non-Newtonian solids on this. Or is it non-Newtonian fluids or non-Newtonian solids? Fluids.
Temporarily solids. Right?
Big fans.
Pressure.
We even know what it's called. Yeah. Right? Yeah. If you made a horse entirely out of custard, you would have to whip the horse. Right? The Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, they wouldn't have anything on you because you have to continue to hit that horse a lot all over its body in order for it to maintain its solidity and its state of hoarseness.
What doesn't...
If you stop whipping it, it will
die.
What
doesn't kill this horse only makes it harder.
Exactly. So obviously there's that, right?
Yes. So you're saying that this horse wants to fall apart and it needs to be constantly whipped, almost like you've put it into like one of those automatic car washes and turned it on really hard, like triple fast, so that it's constantly being whipped, so it keeps its structure. It's almost like
you're flogging a living
horse. It's kind of like, you know, when they make new atoms, but they can... You know, like heavier and heavier atoms, but they can only stay together for like half a microsecond or something like that. It's trying to figure out, it's theoretical horse assists trying to figure out other types of materials horses could be made out of. And they've...
This is why they built that enormous...
horse track.
Horse wash at CERN. Under Switzerland. It's because they wanted to answer some of scientists' biggest equestrians.
Of course, the equestrians. Yeah. And so there is...
The other one is...
No, go.
Yes. The other one, of course, is running a horse race on a track made out of custard. But I feel like because the pounding of the hooves might render it temporarily solid so that you could run along the custard, right? But I wonder if the hooves are too narrow, whether you'd have to put some big flat plates on the bottom of the horse's feet to allow it to take place. I'm not sure.
I'm writing, and so I'm not getting everything. I heard big plates.
Yeah, you got the main points, I think. So if you just write down the words "big plates," Alistair, then I think we're done here.
Do you think this
episode's actually called "Big Plates"?
Oh God, I'm going to write down "big plates." I have no idea what "big plates" is. Oh man,
you don't need to.
If the episode's called "Big Plates," I think it's fun. This can be a sketch about how this episode got titled.
Really good.
It's not really good, Andy.
How this episode got titled. That's going to be the subtitle. I've never put a subtitle on an episode before, but there is that capacity on Acast.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use it this time.
In many ways, each episode of this podcast is a making of this episode.
Yeah, that's true.
It's because, anyway, here's the sketch ideas for today. We've got coming up with our dia, and then and that's a wave so that it's, you know, and then there's a guy who goes, "Hey, that was my idea."
still the best idea I've ever come up with, Alistair.
You're right. Then we've got brine storming. This is at a fish canning headquarters, and they have this brine storm every couple of years to figure out other things that you could
every couple of years. Wow,
to figure out the new things that you could keep your sort of canned fish in.
Keep fish in,
and so they've done tomato sauce, and they've done oil, and they've done salt water. And they've done, oil, but with a squeeze of lemon and things like that. But this one, this the difference is that with brine storming, you can is a place where you can have bad ideas. So think very carefully before you speak up. Then we have mining the mentally ill for their out-of-the-box thinking, idea generating at the mental facility.
And I think we're all across that. We're all very comfortable with it, and we all stand by it 100%.
Look, I would do it in a tasteful way if I was to ever...
Yeah, why can't the rest of us have padded walls? Yeah,
exactly. I mean...
I'd love that. I am always bashing into things these days.
Why not the outside of cars covered in soft blankets so that when we run into each other, we don't damage the car?
That's actually really... I thought you were going to say when you run into pedestrians something.
But if you do run into a pedestrian and he gets knocked out, well, the blankets are perfect for a sleeping person.
Oh, it's ideal.
Then we've got a roast of thyself. This is the self roast. Then we've got train the Thomas engine. And these are train-faced men and women in a society where they don't have any hearing or smell or taste or mouths. And they just somehow survive through the sense of touch, and they've created a society.
Yeah, I'm going to put this out there. I don't think it works or helps in any way, but just this word, Brailleway.
Yes. That's Brailleway. Very good. That's they were a Braille, what's that, like a society that would pass down through it. They had a Braille tradition, a Braillable. Braillable tradition. We would just write it down in Braille. Of course, they're not saying that. They've written that down in Braille.
Of course they're not. And then, of course they're not.
I mean, they're going toot toot maybe, but nobody's hearing it. Then we've got the how to train the Thomas engine, which is the box that produces Thomas babies that a child has to figure out how to train it, and then, which of course you're so happy I wrote down. But you got to understand, Andy, these are my one contribution.
These are my ideas. These are our ideas.
Then we've got hunting wild tank engines, and then we got the steel ball sport. I think if it was also in a steel metal sphere, I think that. Because I think there's nothing more satisfying than rolling a small ball around the walls of a sphere.
Oh, it would be awesome. The ways in which you could pass the ball to your teammates by throwing it, right, and having it roll all the way around the perimeter of the sphere, and then they grab it on the other side. I mean, that's television. I don't know how you get the cameras in there yet.
Doing that roll where you just go, that's it, I'm going the full, like... What's the other one? Not the equator, but the other one? That up. So
What would you call that? The international dateline? I'm going the full international dateline. I'm going the full Greenwich Meridian.
And you're going like that. That was one of those. And then we got the throne bullet battle. It's a great scene. Mm. I mean, that's when we do our parody of... the Saving Private Ryan. And Band of Brothers. we'll do it, but there'll actually be a band. There'll be in a brothers, it'll be the Sex is on Fire guys.
Great. Kings of Leon, are they brothers?
Mostly brothers, maybe there's a cousin in there or two.
Oh, great.
And then we got theoretical horse assists. Whipping a custard horse to keep it together, but they try to make horses out of different kinds of things and see how, but have you ever thought about this? A non-Newtonian gas. Like, let's say you started boiling custard.
I'd love that.
Instead of boiling.
I think I've had dreams about that in the past. Instead of having dreams about flying, I used to have dreams where if I just ran really quickly, I could run up into the air.
And it would become...
I think that's basically a non-Newtonian gas.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. I've definitely had that kind of stuff. But imagine like being able to run so fast that the air becomes a soft cushion that slows you down and that you could land in. Like if you run so fast that you go... and jump, and then it just kind of catches you and then drops you on the ground real soft.
Real
and then
nice.
We got big plates, and that's the final sketch idea. So here we go.
I used to have great dreams like that, right, about flying and shit, and even the ones about monsters and stuff. I just don't have them anymore. It's just anxiety. I'm unprepared for this, either this lesson I've been tricked into teaching at a high school or this sketch show that I have failed to prepare for. That's
let's see
it.
How you're doing when you don't have four children under six or whatever.
Maybe I'll get it back.
Maybe maybe they'll be just a tiny bit more relaxedness,
zest.
Zest in your dreams. But also just try eating the zest of a lemon and just see.
Zest implants. All right,
just
let's
go. Just like a little slice of your skin and then just slide like a bit of zest under there. Just see what that does.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Boom, 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 boom.
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. It's great that you do it. It's great
please,
that you
please
keep
check
doing
out
it.
Murph's Tavern, MURPH'S.
And can I plug the show What the FAQ on the ABC on Wednesday nights? I got to write some stuff on it. I had two bits in the first episode. Yeah, I did.
Tell me what one of them is?
Hopefully, I had one about mobile phones on aeroplanes. Is it safe to use them? What happens if you don't turn them off? I had one other one that about tomato sauce. Should you keep it in the fridge?
Right.
Good stuff.
Can I get a little sneak peek? What do you think?
Well, the results will surprise you. Tomato sauce, it made absolutely no difference. In fact, the one that was kept in the cupboard with no refrigeration had the least bacterial growth.
Amazing.
Of all the tomato sauces. When it comes to mobile phones, there's absolutely no risk to using them on planes.
Really great.
There's never, ever been any incident of any kind anywhere in the world in the billion flights that have taken place since the invention of commercial air travel.
What about MH370?
That can be attributed to mobile phones. Well, that we know of.
That's good.
There have been some where pilots have used. I'm just giving away all the stuff, but I guess this is in the episode that's already gone out.
What a taster.
But there have been some very bad incidents where pilots have left their phones on and have been distracted by either receiving text messages or making a phone call.
That's very exciting.
If you're a pilot, turn your phone off.
Okay.
I am.
What was that thing?
And
in the
I
last
might.
Day where they, it must have been today or yesterday when Alan Joyce from the head of Qantas quit the job. But then I saw some tweets where somebody said, I was on a plane and the pilot said, Alan Joyce has just quit as CEO. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Like that. And you go, wait, were you on
but
your
then
phone?
The plane started falling out of the air.
I know, but wouldn't you hate to think that, like, oh, I just saw a tweet.
Yeah.
What are you doing up there?
I just saw a TikTok.
Yeah. Anyway.
We love
you. Ta-da.
Thank you.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.